This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll have a look at Mortar, a program that helps urban entrepreneurs grow their businesses. First up this afternoon, over the last several years, education and business leaders have been increasing science, technology, engineering, and math programs, or STEM, in schools. Technical skills are going to be required in 80% of all jobs in the next decade. And joining us to talk about the importance of STEM education are Dr. Kathy Maynard with the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative, an assistant professor in the University of Cincinnati College of Criminal Justice, Education, and Human Services, Julie Steimley, Program Director of SEAMS, the Cincinnati Engineering Enhanced Math and Science Program in the UC College of Engineering and Applied Science, and District Coordinator for SEAMS, Debbie Liberi. And you can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here. Kathy, STEM, we know, stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. But beyond that, what exactly is a STEM education? What makes it different from your traditional education?
So it's most certainly about those content areas and connecting or integrating those content areas, making the connections that we often don't make. We often teach science in school. We teach math in school. We don't even teach engineering in school. But it's really making connections between those content areas and the processes that people in those careers kind of partake in. Being able to solve problems is really one of the biggest things. And to make connections between the real world and also careers. We often teach these subjects, but kids don't know why it's important. A STEM focus really says, here's all of your options in the world. Here are the things you can be when you grow up, and here are the pathways to kind of get there.
So you're taking that problem-solving approach. That's crucial to the STEM.
Problem-solving is critical.
Now, what grade level do you teach STEM at?
So STEM education really is a focus K-12 and even into the university. So there are efforts at the kindergarten level of students who are bringing engineering into their classrooms. There are fifth graders who are connecting robotics and jobs that are possible in technology based on curriculum that they're doing in the classroom. So it really does span the whole age range.
So teaching, starting at that early age, I guess that would be important, though. It would make sense.
It starts a way of thinking and a way of approaching the world. And so if we start students early, we really create innovators and creative thinkers and people who can really dig into a problem and use that information that they're gathering and collaborate to truly solve problems. So we can really change the way students approach the world.
How does this fit into the whole school day?
So different schools are doing this very, very differently. If you look across the region, there are some schools that are a STEM-focused school. So Hughes STEM High School, part of Cincinnati Public Schools, has taken a focus completely on STEM education. And a lot of what they do is they use an instructional technique called problem or project-based learning, which kind of structures learning in a way that the content and the processes and the things that students do are really about solving a problem and having a product or an outcome that they can defend to an audience, to an authentic audience. There are also some schools that are teaching a class, so they're really including engineering. Or there are some schools who are including those engineering and technology parts in the traditional science or math classroom. So it's really a spectrum of how it's being embedded in the school day.
Julia, what's the value of a STEM education? Why is it so important?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, because in the upcoming years, STEM jobs are going to grow 1.7 times more than any other non-STEM.
So about
career.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to have a great need for more people that are interested and are pursuing those types of career opportunities. And right now, unfortunately, I think the latest statistic I read was that only 16% of students were even interested in STEM in high school. And so, you know, we've got to increase the interest and help the students see the career possibilities that could exist for them, both in a 2-year college pathway or a 4-year college pathway, so that they kind of look into and possibly pursue those paths.
Debbie, what do you think needs to be done to get kids more interested in STEM?
Well, I think there are many ways to approach this. One of them is to make teachers more aware of what kind of STEM careers are even out there. It's one of the things that we will be addressing at the STEM conference, because we want teachers to be able to talk to colleges and community colleges in our area and just find out what kind of career paths are there. Really, engineering as it is a nice parallel to how people operate in the world. You know, engineers work in teams. They have to have good communication skills. They use math and they apply it. This is the way a lot of the world operates. And so we want to make people aware that there are plenty of jobs that entail those kinds of skills. And we want, so we're trying to educate teachers about those particular jobs that are out there. And then also by having some of these engineering models that are taking place across Greater Cincinnati. It's another component of the STEM conference that we are going to have STEM initiative models as a kind of presentation. And we will be looking at people who are presenting about their local school, like this is what we are doing to promote STEM education within our local school, and then districts. This is our initiative district-wide. So we're going to have an array of possible presentations that will really appeal to people who want to find out more about that.
And that conference is on May 20th, and we can go into more detail about it later on in the interview.
Absolutely.
But how crucial is STEM to the Cincinnati area's economy and its ability to compete across the country and around the world economically?
Well, it's undoubtedly very important. I know that we are not able at this point to even fill all of our IT positions in Greater Cincinnati area. The companies are looking for people constantly to fill those kinds of positions. So I know I that's just one thing I can pull off the top of my head. Maybe others can add to that. But I know that, we need to make people aware of what kinds of positions. We need to get the schools and our society kind of in sync together so that we are preparing people for the kinds of positions that are opening up in STEM careers.
And I would add that even if it's not a STEM career, that those STEM skills are critical for every student, every learner, that if you even look at other jobs, 80% of the jobs have STEM skills that are necessary. So we often in this work talk about that we don't want every student to be an engineer, but we want every student to be able to choose to be an engineer, and we want them to be STEM enabled or STEM capable. And so that's really what we're trying to kind of work on through the efforts like SEAMS, through some other efforts that are going on in the region.
Yeah, I find that interesting that you're saying that this is appropriate for a lot of students. I would have thought this was something that would be more for a kid who's inclined towards science or math or engineering or technology, but you're saying no, this has broad applications.
We actually advocate very strongly that this is for every student and that we have a responsibility for every student in the region to have these experiences, to have college experiences, career experiences, integrated content, applications of that content, problem solving, and that we want those students to have choice. So it's really about opportunity and access. And STEM and STEM education, STEM skills, is a way to provide opportunity and access for all kids.
Kathy, is there a push for non-STEM teachers to incorporate STEM into their subjects, English, history, geography?
So if you even take a look at national standards for schools, K-12 schools, Common Core standards for language arts, and you take a look at those language arts standards, they have practices. And these practices are very much about ways of thinking and ways of approaching problems. And so there's really many, many more connections than not. We often want to separate, here's the liberal arts, here's STEM. But really, we have something to offer both. And even a lot of movements is trying to kind of move us from STEM to STEAM and making sure that we include the arts. So the A is arts. And we work closely with our arts friends and DAP at the University of Cincinnati, design, architecture, art, and urban planning, to be able to bring ways of thinking that critical making, that critical dialogue, the design process really overlaps between the arts and engineering. It's all about how you kind of focus on solving a problem.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join our conversation, let's talk with Mark in Milford. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hi. I'd like to know whether we're graduating too many scientists and engineers. For example, the UC website says that only about 35% of the chemical engineers will find jobs in engineering. I'd like to hear from the panel.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
So I think if you take a look, and we have a data project that we're in the midst of now, and I'll be able to answer that question even more fully soon. But even though we are graduating lots of engineers, there's lots of need of technological jobs for those engineering. They may not go into a traditional engineering field, but there are lots of innovative type jobs that those engineers could be ready for. We find that we actually lose more of the STEM majors. If you take a look at the retention rate of freshmen, we lose 50% of those enrolling in STEM majors. So as much as will 35% find jobs? I think it's actually maybe in their particular field because it's really expanding the types of jobs that are out there.
Many also choose to pursue graduate studies immediately upon getting their undergraduate degree as well. So a lot of times it's how a university will report what students choose to do after graduation, because many are finding that in our very technological world, you need advanced degrees even beyond an undergraduate degree to be able to find the kind of work that they're looking for.
Julie, how do you think Ohio is doing as a whole when it comes to incorporating STEM into the whole educational process? Is there a lot of support at the state level?
I think there's more. From what I understand, the governor is really pushing career pathways. He's, you know, with the College Credit Plus initiative, for example, he's really trying to get more dual credit courses in the high schools, and that will help students be well positioned once they get to college so that they could have, you know, 15, maybe even up to 30 credit hours already under their belts before they even get to college. Because the idea, again, is that that will shorten their time to graduation. And if they do need an advanced degree, that will shorten that time as well so that they can more quickly get into the workforce.
Debbie, how do you think the Cincinnati area is doing when it comes to incorporating STEM into the educational system?
Well, the SEAMS grant's a really great example of that. This grant is designed to help teachers actually integrate challenge-based learning and engineering design process into their own best practices. And it is a grant that actually encompasses five different school districts and the whole Claremont County Consortium of Districts. So we have Cincinnati Public Schools, we have Oak Hills, we have Princeton, Norwood, and I'm leaving somebody out, Winton Woods. There we go. And so all of these schools have teachers that apply to be a part of the SEAMS grant, and then they go through extensive training in the summer. We have a 7-week summer institute that we do with the teachers. They take coursework in engineering classes. They can get 20 hours of actual coursework, but they take a lot of different workshops that help them to learn how to use challenge-based learning and incorporate it into their own practices, and they design units of study for their students. So this is going to have a huge effect because as part of the project, they also do professional development for other teachers. It can be local, it can be state level, it can be at the national level, and we have many teachers doing that as well.
And I'd like to add that the SEAMS effort initiative is one example of what Cincinnati is doing to really support K-12 schools in STEM education. Two other examples that I'm quite proud of and actually has a lot of energy and momentum. The first is the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative. I convene that group along with, it's a group of K-12 educators, higher education, not just UC, but all of the higher education institutes across the region, business and industry, and community partners. It was started by the Strive Partnership in 2010 with Procter & Gamble funding, really with Procter saying, we need to do something as a community to make a difference for STEM education and improve careers. And so we do a lot of projects that bring business and industry, community partners, and schools all to the same table to really incorporate these kind of projects and STEM education, real world projects, into the classroom.
And we'll continue our conversation about STEM education, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Here to discuss the importance of STEM education are Dr. Kathy Maynard with the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative and assistant professor in the University of Cincinnati College of Criminal Justice, Education, and Human Services. Julie Steimley, program director of SEAMS, the Cincinnati Engineering Enhanced Math and Science Program in the UC College of Engineering and Applied Science, and district coordinator for SEAMS, Debbie Liberi. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kathy, you were talking about the Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative as we went into the break. What are some of the things it does regionally to promote STEM education?
So I'll give you a concrete example. We have a portfolio of what we call demonstration projects. You could call them pilots, but I think language is powerful. And so instead of saying pilots, which is very tentative, it is about linking arms with cross-sector partners and doing something to help schools. And so one example is we've created a STEM Bicycle Club. And so the STEM Bicycle Club, we tried it the first time last spring with one school in Cincinnati Public Schools, Woodward. And that connected Time Warner Cable funding, Urban League support, GE engineers. And so GE engineers worked with students for 10 weeks and built a bike. So every kid built a bike. And they learned how to reverse engineer, took the crank apart, made it better. And so it really was about problem solving. It was about being able to go really deep into the engineering process and to have really deep career conversations with actual engineers. So at the end of this, every kid got to keep a bike and was able to fix it when it went wrong or something kind of messed up in 3 weeks. This spring, we actually have expanded that effort from one school to 8 schools across the region, created a curriculum, videos of bike support. But it's really about providing a rich context that business and industry can really partner with schools, can really make career connections, and to really get kids building and designing again, because we don't play that way.
Julia and Debbie, talk to us about SEAMS, the Cincinnati Engineering Enhanced Math and Science Program. What's that about, and what kind of programs do you have out there?
Well, basically, SEAMS is about bringing engineering into math and science classrooms. So we've had, so far, we've had 46 teachers go through an intensive 2-year training program, and we have 20 more set to start this summer. And these teachers learn how to integrate engineering activities into their math and science classrooms. So this shows the students, here's some real-world applications of engineering. Here's how to solve a real-world problem using the engineering design process. And it really engages students, even students that are very typically difficult to engage, and gets them interested in subject matter that before they thought, why do I even need to learn this? You know, how is this relevant to my life? And the real magic of it is we really heavily invest in only 100 teachers across the whole length of the grant. But these teachers already have trained a total of over 900 teachers, some through the STEM conference, some through national and regional conferences, some just in their own district and working with them individually. So that's the real beauty, is that they are basically the ones going out and sharing the good news with others and getting others interested in STEM.
And I would add to that the classroom teacher really reaps the benefit of this as well, because we promote challenge-based learning, where students are really a part of creating their own challenge that they're going to invest time in and try and problem solve. And so you get students who maybe aren't as eager to learn about math and science, but when they are allowed to be a part of the problem-solving process and they realize that there is not one correct answer, but many possible solutions, and that you can actually improve upon that solution, go through the iterative process, which is part of what engineers do. It really excites them, and we find that students who maybe are not the best traditional learners learn very well in this kind of context. So it's a really exciting thing for the classroom teacher and for students. The first time maybe that they are involved in a challenge, they're like, oh, this is very foreign for me. I don't know if I like this. And then they really get hooked in and they're like, when are we going to do another unit like this? This was really fun. And so it's an opportunity for students to shine in a different way all the time that they're learning the context that the content that we want them to learn in this new context. So challenge-based learning has been a really powerful pedagogy for our teachers to use. And then it all becomes part of the engineering design process as well. And we try to absolutely embed real world kinds of problems for students to solve and something that might have societal impact. Sometimes it's hard to tie all of those things in together, but we really try and emphasize that. And in doing so, make kids aware of what kinds of careers are associated with this kind of problem solving. You know, how can we learn more about what's out there as well? So it really is a very powerful pedagogy, and teachers have told us time and time again how exciting it is to teach this way.
You know, we're calling it problem solving, but what I keep getting out of this is critical thinking.
Very much so.
This is a good way to teach students critical thinking, no matter what their interests are.
Yeah, in the education world, we always talk about Bloom's taxonomy, and it's way up there in Bloom's taxonomy because students are involved in application and evaluation, and they're actually doing things that require higher order thinking skills. So it's great stuff. And it involves 21st century communication skills because they get to talk about and promote their solutions and explain to each other what they're doing. And so these are really important characteristics of society today. We want people who can work in groups, solve problems, and communicate their results.
Kathy, how have local businesses gotten on board? Have you gotten a lot of support from them?
It's really quite amazing to me as an educator. So I was a teacher, a classroom teacher for 16 years, been at the university for 8. It's the first time that I've seen such support from business and industry. The Greater Cincinnati STEM Collaborative is able to bring in about $300,000 of local funds, that's business and industry and foundation funds, to support this type of work. But it's not even just about the money. We have companies that I could list, P&G and IBM and Toyota, and I could just go through a long list that they're actually doing these types of projects. They're in classrooms, and they're really kind of making connections that before we didn't see so much of.
Debbie, I got about a minute left here in our conversation. Can you tell us more about that May 20th conference? Who do you suggest would come to this, and some of the topics that you'll be covering?
Absolutely. Well, we think it's going to be the best conference ever. We have a lot going on. It starts at 7:45, goes on to 3:45. It's really geared for K-12 educators who are interested in STEM. We also have administrators and business and industry coming. We're going to have a showcase of regional resources along with a showcase of college and careers. So there will be organizations like our Museum Center, iSpace, all of our county educational service centers, the Garden Center, all of these places will be there, Newport Aquarium, talking about their educational outreach, the zoo, lots of showcase organizations. Those are informal educators. And then we have all of our presenters. We have probably over 43 presentations, and they are focusing on STEM initiative models and then interactive workshops. All of our SEAMS teachers are going to be presenters telling everyone about challenge-based learning and engineering design process that they're using in their classrooms in teaching students. So it's tried and true stuff. It'll be great.
Only okay. $25, too.
Yeah.
Well, Kathy, Julie, and Debbie, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Coming up, we'll have a look at a program that's designed to help urban entrepreneurs expand their businesses as they improve their communities. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.